I'd rather be in church than any place else, because I don't feel peace like I do anywhere else.
Life is a few days of trouble, a wise man once said. But I'll not complain, for I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. But many's the trial, my wants and my dreams put me through. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all of life's frustration, I need you, and I know I do. 'Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
The higher I've soared in my dreams, the harder I fall. And sometimes I've wondered if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointments can't keep me blinded and blue. Not when I'm reminded of sweet peace I have, Lord, in you.
Everybody sing.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Sing it again.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all of life's frustration, I need you, and I know I do. 'Cause the only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you.
I'd like to raise one hand toward heaven, sing a little prayer.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Hallelujah.
The only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you.
All of life's frustration.
With all of life's frustration, I need you, and I know I do. The only real peace I have, dear Lord, it is in you.
Yes, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Aren't you glad for the peace of God that passes all understanding? That peace, give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I blessed to have a wife like LaBrisca?
Yes.
Would you give her a real good hand? That's your one and only lady.
We're blessed to have some other very special guests here this morning. Brother Dan Gill, Pastor Dan Gill, and his wife Sharon from Nashville drove all the way down to be a part of this wonderful celebration.
Yes, amen.
They're great people, some other pillars that God has placed in our lives. Besides being a pastor, wonderful minister, they have a great website called 21st Century Reformation. It's a great day.
Yes, it is.
Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, but mostly in Him, the God of my salvation.
Yes.
Folks, I don't know if you feel what I feel this morning.
Hallelujah.
I've stood up here and sung and worshiped with chills on me, and this left sideburn keeps standing right straight out. I don't know if you noticed or not. Probably you didn't, but I did. I love to feel something in church. Amen.
Yes.
I feel the Lord here. I'm kind of like the little boy that's standing up on the bench. Mama said, sit down. Sit down. The minute he got back up, she said, sit down. He got back up. Then she got him by the ear and cranked him down. He looked over at her and he said, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Folks, I'm pretty calm on the outside, but I'm yes. leaping on the inside.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad to be saved,
yes.
born again,
yes.
name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, anxiously awaiting the coming of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You don't know why I feel that way. You just don't know where I've been and what it took to get me here. Turning to the Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass when he had ceased speaking unto Saul, this is little David, that the soul of Jonathan, who was Saul's son, was knit with the soul of David. Let me just stop here just a minute and say, God can cause people to love you and you won't even understand why they love you. It's a God kind of love.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't consider myself to be anybody. As I said, hey, it took a lot to get me here because I've fallen in a lot of holes. I've been in some pits. David said in the 40th Psalm, I cried to God out of a horrible pit. I've been in that pit.
Yes.
And I didn't get out by myself.
That's right.
Somebody said if you're going along in pasture and you see a turtle up on a fence post, he didn't get there by himself. He may look proud. He may look like he did it alone, but you can be assured he had some help. Hello?
That's right.
If you look up here and you see anything this morning, I'll promise you somebody had to help put me on the fence post. I didn't get there by myself. How many can agree with that this morning?
Come on.
Naked we came in this world and naked we're going out. So God put instant love in Prince Jonathan for the shepherd boy David. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Verse 3, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan was just, it was an unexplainable thing. He's a prince. His daddy is the king of Israel. He lives in a palace. He wears a princely robe. And he's the heir apparent to the throne of Israel.
Yes.
But somehow or other, God put love in his heart for David, and he loved him as his own soul. And listen to what love does. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword, his sidearm, and to his bow and to his girdle or belt. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 9 and we'll see this love come to fruition in who is now King David himself sitting on the throne of Israel. And David is remembering his friend with whom he made a covenant, who loved him as his own soul. And David said, "Is there yet any who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Verse 6, "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did obeisance. And David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Behold thy servant.'" Listen to what David said unto him. "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father," actually grandfather, "and thou shalt eat at my table continually." What humility this produced in Mephibosheth, and he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am?" But listen to the middle of verse 11, "And as for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons."
Yes.
Labriska and I were in a town in Louisiana some time back. And all over town, they had big signs advertising disaster preparedness seminars sponsored by a large local hospital, preparing people for disasters, because disasters do happen. In fact, I don't think anything could have prepared Louisiana for the disaster that they're experiencing right now.
Right.
But I found this very interesting. I never had seen anything like that before, just signs advertising disaster preparedness seminars. I said, "Well, all right." But thank God, not only disasters happen, but blessings happen.
Yes, yes.
And I said to Labriska, "We need to start having some blessing preparedness seminars."
Come on.
Yes. And prepare people for a blessing.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Come on.
I think every service ought to be like this one. A blessing preparedness seminar.
Come on, hallelujah.
Because our Heavenly Father delights to bless His children.
Yes, He does.
Far above what we deserve, far above what we could imagine. Now, let me just talk to you just a minute to be stirred, not disturbed, but let's just talk about disasters. This is not the thrust of my message, but I think we need to be stirred. Jesus said He's coming as a thief, but Paul said to some Christians, "Brethren, you are not in darkness that this day would overtake you as a thief."
Come on.
I don't think we'll know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming, but we do know the season, and I believe we're in that season.
Yes, yes.
When we got off of Interstate 26 out here and got on, 25 coming toward Greenville, we began to see signs. And it says Greenville, 27 miles. It says Greenville, 16 miles. It says Greenville, 3 miles. You know where we're headed? Greenville. We're not headed to Atlanta. We're not headed to Chattanooga. We're headed to Greenville.
Yes.
Now, folks, if you're reading the signs, you know what we're headed for, and we're getting closer and closer and closer, and that is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to split the eastern skies and set what's wrong on this planet right. And I long for that day. The Bible spoke of those who love His appearing.
Yes.
I'm in love with the appearing of our Lord Jesus. I'm anxious to see it. I'll be glad when there's no more children abused, no more women abused by men who should be their protectors. No more old people neglected and abused. The time when the powerful no longer oppress the weak, the rich no longer oppress the poor.
Hallelujah.
And that day is coming soon, and righteousness is going to reign on this planet.
Yes.
And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule it from his throne in Jerusalem, the throne of his father David, that the minister spoke about last night. Folks, what a day. Pardon me if I go ahead and shout now. Hallelujah. But you and I are in the cleft of the rock.
Come on.
Underneath us are the everlasting arms
Hallelujah.
Of our loving Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Do you take comfort in that?
Yes. Come on. Hallelujah.
Let me just talk to you about how magnanimous he is and how magnanimous one of his little boys was by the name of King David. This is the story of a prince and a shepherd boy. David set out on the hillside. Somebody said he was singing to the sheep, but I think he's singing to the shepherd. Playing that harp and singing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's looking at those awesome stars. He knew there's a God. He knew God was his father, his shepherd.
Yes.
He'd play that harp and sing to God. You know God likes that.
Yes.
You know when they're up here playing this music, singing, God likes that.
Come on, yes.
And I like it. It suits me just fine. Some people don't like noise in church. They like rodeo noise. They like ball game noise. They like soccer noise. They like rock and roll noise. They just don't like church noise.
Come on. Come on.
Give me a little joyful noise unto the Lord. It makes my spirit leap within me. Can you say amen? So David, out there playing a harp, and it was promotion time. How many know if God delights in you, he'll promote you? And so promotion came. A chariot rolled up at his house one day, and they said, "The king needs you." I said, "Me? Yes." His advisors have advised him. He has depression. He has fits of oppression. They probably didn't say it, but he'd gone away from God, and it probably brought with it possession.
Come on. Yes.
By some bad stuff. And they said a little gospel music would probably. Hello?
Yes. Yes.
If he just had somebody who knew how to play a little southern gospel music. Victory in Jesus. Old rugged cross.
Yes.
I shall not be moved. I feel like traveling on.
Come on.
Lord has been so good to me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh my. He said, "Well, just bring him on. Come on." So he brought his harp. And when he'd have these fits, King David played the harp. Bible said, just calm him down. That's why I play it in my truck. I don't have fits, but I sure do enjoy the calmness of it, right? A lot of this other stuff, it's not calming. It discharges your battery. You might be... Folks, help me stay on the message this morning, but I'm not going to listen to anything that discharges my battery.
Come on. Yes.
And good gospel music charges my battery.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So David would play that harp. The king would settle down. And then I read you there where God did something else real special. The king's son, who was the heir apparent to the throne, he couldn't explain it. David couldn't understand it. God just made a bond, a love, a soul love, a heart love. You know, it's just certain people that you meet, and it's just God connects you to heart. It's a God thing. And that's what happened with David and Jonathan. Now, according to the scripture, if you study this, they cut a covenant. Did you ever see any cowboy stories from the Old West where the Indians cut themselves, mingled blood, and cut a covenant? Well, we didn't cut ourselves. We did prick ourselves with a pin. Me and John Kenneth Blazier, back in the stick horse days, we made a covenant. I don't know where he is. I haven't seen him in a long time, but may he be blessed wherever he is. I think about him every once in a while. We made blood brothers. That's kind of what David and Jonathan did. They became blood brothers. And then things went downhill from there. I'm going to take a lot of time on that, but a backslider always goes down.
Yes. Come on.
It's always down. Jonah went down to Joppa, down in the ship, down in the ocean, down in the belly of the whale. He didn't get started back up till he got on his knees by that whale's liver and began to cry out to the Most High God. Yeah. Then he started going back up. God said, spit him up.
Yeah.
Hello? Y'all pardon me. God will make something spit you up this morning that's been troubling you and take you from a downward path to an upward path.
Yes.
So Saul kept going downhill, further and further from God. And then David finally had to flee from Saul because the enemy put as much jealousy in Saul's heart for David as his son Jonathan had love in his heart for David. Unexplained jealousy. And David had to flee from his life, him and some men who joined up with him, even go over into Philistine country. So David was not there when this battle happened on Mount Gilboa, when the enemy came in like a flood. And so Saul's enemy prevailed against him, and he and Jonathan. One of the saddest pictures in the Bible is the picture of these two great men lying dead with swords through them. The Bible paints that picture. Now, LaBriska and I have been to Israel several times. God's opened some amazing doors. Brother Randall, we have a friend who owns that hill. Katya Kahane, a friend of ours that we've spent time with, visited with, fellowship, ate with. He owns a big cattle ranch. He's a hero of one of their past wars. And he said, Joel, sometime when we have time, I'll put you on a horse and we'll ride up there and I'll show you this spot on Mount Gilboa where Saul and Jonathan died. It really did happen. And instead of David rejoicing over the death of Saul, he wept bitterly over both.
Yes.
And then he becomes king. And he's in the palace. And he wears the purple robe, and he has the scepter, and he has the power to bless or curse, life or death. He's the king. But after things kind of settle down, and a little while, several years pass by, David gets to thinking about his friend. Wonder if anybody survived. I don't know. Never heard. I know the family was wiped out. I just don't know if anybody survived. But I'm thinking about my friend. If he had a descendant, I'd love to bring him to the palace. And he called in one of his trusted aides and he said, do you know? Is there anybody that survived? And he said, yes, there's one boy. We think he's in Lodabar. David knew what the word Lodabar meant. It means the place of no pasture. When I go through South Carolina, folks, I'm a country boy. I love cows and horses and chickens. We have them. And dogs and all that. I just love it. It's peaceful to me. And I see these beautiful pastures. And I think about Mephibosheth looking out the window. A crippled boy. Because when that disaster happened to the family, his nurse grabbed him up. He was a baby and ran and fell with him. And he was crippled. He's not only crippled, but some people who weren't even family took him in. And he lives in Lodabar. And when he looks out the window, there's no pasture. It's bare. It's dry. And no doubt he was often in want. But let's just face reality here. Probably his worst problem was his fear. He said, my grandfather tried to kill the man over Jerusalem who is the king, and he's probably looking for me. One day a chariot may roll up, maybe there'll be a knock on the door. The day he dreaded all of his life. And he doesn't know this man over there, the man in the palace has been lied on. I want you to know God's been lied on, folks.
Amen.
The devil has lied on God and says he's standing over you with a stick to knock you down the first time you stick your head up and make a mistake. He said God don't care nothing about it. That's what wore me out for 2 years on the couch. The devil told me cancer and all this stuff you've gone through and now this depression, God don't care nothing about you. And I believed it. And that's why I'm here today to tell you God loves you. He knows who you are.
Yes, he does.
He don't have another one like you. You're unique to God. You look in the mirror. If you've got an identical twin, they're still not like you. God looks at you and you're his precious child. And don't you listen to the devil when he lies to you and tell you he doesn't.
Come on, yes.
Jesus compared it. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? God delights to bless you. He wants to hold you. He wants to hug you. He desires your fellowship. Now you think about that a minute and be awed about it, but the creator of the universe and your creator, the one that holds your breath in his hands, wants to hold you and fellowship with you.
Yes.
Because God told me, and I don't preach or write on visions and voices. I write from the Holy Bible and preach from the Holy Bible. But I want you to know that God told me the lowest day of my life, when I was about to divorce my wife and end a 29-year almost perfect marriage. I couldn't explain it then. I can't explain it now. It was a situation I fell into and couldn't get out of. And God showed up and he said, I love you. I'm not angry with you. He said, here's what he said. I earnestly desire your fellowship. And Betty Jean, I tell you, that's helped me every day since, because I don't care what I'm going through. I say, God, if you desired my fellowship as low as I was that day, there'll never be a day you don't want to spend time with me and me spend time with you. Can you
amen.
Say amen?
Yes.
Would you give him a hand clap of praise because he loves you? Hallelujah. So sure enough, the chariot rolls up. And there's soldiers, and they're armed. King's honor guard, king's chariot. Knowing how things are in reality, if the little fella saw it, he probably ran somewhere and hid, got under a bed. And that knock came on the door. Never beat on the door, made his heart pound harder. He says, this is my dying day. And they said, no, it's good news. Boy, something happened before you was born. That king over there on that throne cut a covenant with your daddy. A blood covenant before you were born. You're not a victim. You're the beneficiary of that greatest covenant that's ever been cut on planet Earth.
Yes, yes.
Hey, listen to me, folks. Before you were born, you didn't have nothing to do with it. You can't deserve it. You'll never understand it. You couldn't earn it if you tried. But the God of the universe cut a covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ on an old rugged cross at a place called Calvary. And we're the beneficiaries of it this morning. Can you say amen? God Almighty. The Bible said we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Is that big? Somebody say that's big.
Yes, it is.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the messenger of the covenant, the messenger of the will.
Yes.
Now everybody knows you have to die for your covenant or your will to come into force. So Jesus gave the disciples wine, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant in my name. Drink it." And he died. And a lot of bad things happen after people die because they're not around to reinforce their will. Heard about these people that gathered at the lawyer's office to hear the reading of the will. And the lawyer started reading from this rich man's will, and he said to my cousin Agnes, who always wanted to be remembered in my will, "Hi, Agnes." God left you more than that. Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later and sits at the right hand of God as our intercessor, our mediator, our champion, our hero, to oversee the administration of his will, to make sure you get everything that God has willed to you this morning. Could you shout about that? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why it's so important to come to church when the doors are open and hear the reading of the will.
Yes.
Yes.
Folks, if some rich person left you in their will and the lawyer notified you next Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock we're going to read the will, I guarantee you'd be there at 9:30.
Come on.
Say, "Come on, boy, give it to me." Hallelujah. Folks, if we realize what it really means to be heirs of God and joint heirs with our brother Jesus Christ, we'd be anxious. Say, "Read me the will." Let me tell you what's in it. Peace. My peace I leave with you.
Hallelujah.
It's a covenant of peace.
Hallelujah.
It's a covenant of protection.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It's a covenant of pardon.
Hallelujah.
It's a covenant of provision.
Yes, it is.
Lord, it's a covenant of power.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Wow.
Glory.
And they got to the palace. And it had steak, rice and gravy, black-eyed peas and cornbread, roasted lamb for those that like it, fried cornbread, fried okra.
Watch out. You're going to lose.
Butter bean.
Chocolate cake, 7-layer cake. Banana pudding to go on the cake. Besides that, they had biscuits. Southern biscuits. I'm not talking about these little divorce pills now you get in the can. I'm talking about some real homemade biscuits, right? And I believe Mephibosheth sat down at the table. Well, I told you about their first meeting. He fell on his face and he said, "I'm a dead dog. I'm nobody. Why'd you even look for me? You know what my grandfather tried to do to you? David said, "No, son. You're going to eat at my table from now on. You're going to be one of my sons." Folks, you don't even know who you are this morning. You couldn't be as still as you are if you knew. 1 John 3:1 said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." And so he set him down there at the table. He said, "Mr. King, after lunch this year I can't mow the yard." I'm just using my imagination there. "Are you sure there's nothing I can do to help pay for this?" "No, son. When I look at you, you remind me of somebody I used to know. Let me tell you something, son, that you don't know. Before you was born, I was running for my life. Didn't have a friend in the world. And your daddy, heir to the throne, willing to give it up for me. Not only that, he slipped away from his daddy's army, the Bible says, and found David hiding out one night. Hiding for his life, maybe in a cave. And Jonathan slipped away and risked his own life and strengthened David's hand in God. If you have a friend that's trying to take your hand out of God's hand, young person, you run from them as fast as you and hard as you can run.
That's exactly right.
A true friend will strengthen your hand in God. David said, son, you don't know about that, but I do. I thought I couldn't make it. God sent your dad to hold me. You don't have to do it. I'm giving you all that he owned, all your grandfather owned, give you back all the land, all the servants will be yours now. I think my figure said, must have sat up a little straight in the chair and said, pass the biscuits. My heads are bowed, my eyes are closed. I don't know what this does for you folks. I've been in some pits. God got me out. God sent people to help get me out. People told me later, I didn't know what you're going through, but God got me out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. Woke me up and said, pray for Joel Hemphill in another state. And I was going to pray in bed. They said, God wouldn't let me. He said, you get down by the bed here and pray for it. I have no idea what I was going through. God will lay you on some prayer warrior's heart. Already has. God has chosen you for a blessing. It's better than winning the lottery, the Powerball, the scratch-off. It's better than a contract with some